The Old Testament reading today is from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, when the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 16. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all the nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God to be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Christ with the reading of the gospel. Our gospel comes from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O highly favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to this angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Mary, you may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've altered the lectionary and sacrament schedule by a week this year. The kids and the Christmas onslaught get to take over next week. The official calendar had one more week of John the Baptist. Not that the Baptist doesn't have a message, but in our last de facto week of Advent, Mary and Gabriel seem more important. Maybe even more so in our cultural moment for just how odd they are. Let me attempt to illustrate for a second by turning to Hollywood. It's been the year of the Bible, so to speak. The year opened with a big budget A-list star vehicle, Noah. And it's closing with a big budget A-list star vehicle, Exodus. And sandwiched in between was the Survivor producer's Son of God. I think it's fair to say that almost nobody has been satisfied. That last one played it fairly straight, other than casting a President Obama lookalike as Satan, but occasionally had the effect of being Survivor Bible Island. Not that St. Peter was literally voted off the island, but his editing was very quick. Quick cut, action to action. It was a shorter and more concentrated version of the same producer's History Channel special, The Bible. And the emphasis throughout was upon the quick cut action. Likewise, with the other two movies. Both Noah and Exodus were directed by atheists. But both of them, probably looking at their production budgets, at least feigned respect for the likely religious viewers that they would attract. But what neither of them really understood is what could be called the divine passive. You don't cast Batman and Maximus the Gladiator for contemplative roles. You cast them for struggle and conflict and action. Classic man against man or man against environment or even man against God. So both Noah and Exodus are dramas that focus on Noah and Moses, with this big, uncast character who keeps wanting to butt in, but the directors don't get him. And that is why even telling the stories within the bounds of creative license, neither of them really work. Because the emphasis of those Bible stories is not first on the action, the flood or the plagues. And even less is it on the presented actor, Noah and Moses. Those are those who through whom God acted. The heroes of the Bible, even that Claude Samson, are not action heroes, because blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The heroes of the Bible are the meek, and they inherit not because they perform wonders. In fact, Moses is always asking God to please go find someone else. Numbers 12:3 describes Moses as the meekest man on the face of the earth. Not something that Hollywood would probably greenlight. But because of their meekness, God works. At key moments, the Bible tells its tale in the passage. Because God is the real actor. And this is what Mary is the exemplar of. Textually, her response to Gabriel is compared to two others, Israel as a whole and Zechariah, the priestly father of John the Baptist. The more direct parallel is Zechariah. Gabriel's a busy angel in the first chapter of Luke. Right before our text, he appears to Zechariah, who is doing his priestly duty before the altar in the holy place. Gabriel's announcement is quite explicit and is said to be the answer of Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayers. God has appeared to act, but Zechariah's response is not welcoming. How will I know? He asks Gabriel. Prove it. Give me a sign. But maybe even more troublesome, I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. I myself am no longer able to act. Zechariah assumed that it was by his power, and he saw no way that this would work. God still accomplishes what must be done. Zechariah gets his sign, but probably not what he would have asked for, because Zechariah is struck mute until the child is born. His unbelief in the very place that should have known better, makes him unable to tell the good news. He becomes a sign himself. Instead of a priestly herald, he can no longer perform his true vocation. Mary's response is the contrast. Not how will I know, not what sign will I have. She's been told she will have a child who will reign in David's throne forever. And she believes the announcement. Her question is simply, how? How will this be? Mary's is a faith seeking understanding. Mary's question is seeking not proof of God's action, but just how God will act. How is he to use her, to act through her? Mary's faith is met with two gifts. She gets an explanation of sorts. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, which is an interesting word, overshadow. Is what God did in the tent of meeting with Moses, and what he did over the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle in the temple. That Shekinah, the overshadowing of God, had left the holy place where Zechariah had heard his message. It had left that place at the time of exile. And now it appears to Mary. Wrong place, wrong sex, wrong family, wrong time, by almost any human standard. But this is what God chooses to bless. This is what God chooses to abide with. Faith seeking understanding. Those willing to let God work. Nothing is impossible with God, because God will act for his people. The second gift that was given to Mary because of her faith is a sign. Mary has the faith to see the signs, in contrast to Zechariah, who had to become the sign himself. Mary didn't ask for one, but an angel announces one. Your kin, Elizabeth, will have a son. That's the direct comparison. But I would put forward one other, Israel. Through the ages, God had abided with his people Israel. And in the words of Isaiah, he was always looking for fruitfulness, but found none. His treasured vineyard brought forth bad grapes. They were violent and unbelieving. They performed rituals, but their heart was far from him. They grumbled constantly about the desert and their plight, always wanting what the other nations had. They wanted the sign that they now would conquer. But the emphasis would be on Israel's action. God would have their back, not God acting through them. But Mary simply believes the word. And that faith would lead to an explicit fruitfulness. The child, Jesus. But maybe just as important were Mary's last recorded words in the text. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. When Israel rebelled, Mary bowed. When Israel stood in the way of their God acting, Mary was meek, allowing God to act through her. All of Israel had failed in many and various ways, but in the heart of one peasant girl was hidden God himself and the means of the salvation of the world. God was pleased to abide there. The Christmas onslaught is coming, and most of us end up being in a high state of anxiety or tension. I'm convinced that this is because we are often like those Hollywood directors. We are always casting ourselves in the lead roles. If I don't do this, it won't get done. If this doesn't get done, well, maybe not the world, but at least a world will end. I might get the wrong present. I might have missed someone. And I'm not saying that those things are completely unimportant. But when you cast yourself as the action star, what you get is conflict. What you get is never enough time, because we can't add a single hour. What you get is never enough money, because even if we could buy the world, we lose something. Instead of casting your life as the action star, look at Mary. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Our power surely fails, but the Most High dwells with those who who would welcome him by faith. One last thought on this. Even beyond the Christmas onslaught, we're just a very busy world and people. There are constant claims on our actions and strengths. Whether it's trying to be our own savior by our actions, or whether that busyness is a distraction from our gnawing lack, I'm not always sure. But either way, our busyness is a symptom of a spiritual problem. Mary's response to Gabriel's word is first to ponder, to discern what it was. As a church, we need to have the faith that God will act. And we need to have the faith that he acts through us. But we should emulate Mary in our preparation. God acts for his people in his time, at the proper time. And in between those acts of God which we can't control, we are not primarily the action stars, but we're told to watch. We're to ponder, to discern. Is this where God wants to act through us? Is this where we can say, I am the servant of the Lord? Or are all these calls just busyness? Busyness keeping us away from watching, from discerning. Another Mary was once chastised for sitting and pondering at the feet of the Lord. And Jesus came to her rescue and her praise. Gabriel does not just say hello or greetings to Mary, but he greets her with an invitation. In the words of the hymn, "Rejoice, O highly favored lady, the Lord is with you." That angel still says the same. Rejoice, O highly favored lady, the church. His church. The Lord is with you. Put down your troubles and your fears because you have found favor. Literally, you have found grace. And over his kingdom, there will be no end. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Amen.